last week and just now in the gospel, we heard Jesus say that we should bear fruit. And clearly, Jesus was not talking about apples or oranges or grapes. Although I know some pretty fruity people. I grew up in California. It's the land of fruits, flakes, and nuts. Jesus is really not talking about that kind of fruit. Jesus is talking about a kind of satisfaction or joy or, sense of well-being that you can communicate to other people, you can give to other people. There's happiness that you can give to other people. And I'd first like to talk to a group of you guys who tend to be the valedictorians and the captains on the teams and the high-achieving types. And even among those high-achieving types, I'd like to speak to even a smaller group of you for a second. You know, in so many ways, you guys are the fruit of your parents. Now, of course, I could say that in a theology of the body sort of way, but that's not at all what I mean. Well, it's only secondarily what I mean. And I'm not trying to be scandalous here. You're fruit of what your parents have done because they've communicated to you their sense of security. They've communicated to you what they've learned. They've communicated to you the gifts that they've given to you. And it's bearing fruit in the way that you have a sense of security about yourself, the way that you've learned to deal with life, the way that you've learned to give to others the best of you. And you know what? Naturally, other people are going to look up to that. If there's a sense of security, if you've learned a lot about life, if you give of yourself, people look up to you. Now, I want to talk to the rest of the folks here right now, and I don't mean to segregate people in any kind of hard and fast way, because the cool thing is that all of us can learn to bear fruit. That's why Jesus tells us we should. But there's some of you who really don't feel like you have much to give to the world. There's a deep sense of insecurity. In fact, in a lot of ways, that's what I like about working with teenagers. Is you guys are insecure, and you know it. You're looking for love. You're looking to be loved. And you're very open to being loved. There's a lot of adults who have shut themselves off because they've gotten hurt too much and they haven't been loved. They haven't been loved well. So they're not open to other people. But they have to defend themselves and guard themselves. So it's great talking to you guys because you're still open to it in a way that a lot of adults aren't. So you have that going for you. And I want to speak to both groups, the high-achieving types, and I want to speak to those of us in the room who are really insecure. In fact, in high school, man, I was insecure. I mean, I went to 6 different high schools. My last year of high school, I went to Seton, of course, and it was the most glorious year of my high school career, naturally. But it didn't start out that way. Well, because I went to 6 different high schools, I learned to be very outgoing, to make friends, and to put myself out there, and to be looking for opportunities to get in and make a good impression. But underneath, I had a very deep insecurity about myself. And, you know, I've experienced during my life as an adult out of high school, in many, many ways, Jesus has shown me love. But it's interesting. It's really, it hasn't been until recently, some experiences I had on a retreat in January and things that have been happening in my life, that I've really come to understand these things that I want to talk about that I think are really from the readings. And the thing about it is that all these things, or the idea of bearing fruit, I think is the thing that's going to give us the most hope in life, if we understand it correctly. So I want to explain how one can bear fruit. How can a person really bear fruit in life? And the big secret is love. But, you know, we've all heard about love, and, you know, we're supposed to be Christians, we love, la 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 la, you know, happy Christians. Well, maybe you've heard that, I don't know. But that's the way it's presented. You know, you just gotta love, man. I want to talk about love, the kind of love that bears fruit. It's very different from sort of just the, I just love. And it's probably something you, I mean, I'm guessing you haven't heard about love in this way. Maybe you have. Blessed be God. Well, thanks be to God if you have heard about love in this way. But I want to take some things from the readings and talk about three things that are really all about love and really what lead to us bearing fruit, being able to be a blessing in other people's lives, being able to give life to others and give joy to others and bring happiness to others. Okay, so that's what I want to do. I want to talk about how to bear fruit, and it's really about loving. Three aspects of loving. Those three aspects are, first, find security in love. Second, be insatiably hungry to learn. And third, give it away. Give it all away. Alright, so let me explain. So we hear in our first reading that God shows no partiality. God is a giver of all good gifts. And we hear in the second reading, love consists in this, not that you have loved, not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us. You know, we know that God is like the first cause, like, you know, if you had billiard balls that went back for eternity, or for almost eternity, God would be at the beginning to start the billiard balls rolling, right? You've heard that proof for the existence of God. That's way oversimplified. But, you know, first cause, St. Thomas Aquinas, five ways kind of thing. Well, when it comes to yourself, who you are, God is the giver of all good gifts, including who you are. He's loved you eternally with an everlasting love. He has in his mind exactly who you are, who you will become, his dreams for you. And you gotta ask yourself this, who are you? Who are you before God? Who is it that God has made you? The best of you. In the depths, a person that you know that, or that you wish people would recognize. So often we go without being recognized for who we really are. So often we're lonely because no one really cares about the things that I really care about and what's really inside of me. What is that that's inside of you? Because that's a gift of God, and he shows no partiality. You know, I know that most people really don't like themselves. That's because they don't know themselves. They don't know who God has willed them to be, who God loves. And my first advice to you if you want to bear fruit in life, if you want to be successful in life in the truest sense possible, is find security in who God has created you to be, your deepest identity. Because it's awesome, and you're awesome. He's got big plans for you. Who is it that He's created you to be? I've rediscovered lately how God has spoken to the depths of my heart, and He's actually been very clear with me. And I was afraid of it for a long time. So I thought, I don't know, what if I mess up, and I'm not that good, and I always fail at stuff, and all right, okay, so you mess up a lot. Actually, you know who else messed up a lot? St. Peter, and Abraham, and St. Paul, and St. Mother Teresa, St. Catherine of Siena, they messed up a lot. But underneath all their mistakes, underneath all their sins, underneath all that stuff, the person, the identity, who they really were before God. When Jesus looked Peter in the eyes and said, "You are rock." And this is the guy who's unstable. This is the guy who messes up. This is the guy who sticks his foot in his mouth. "You are rock. I will make you stable. Before me, you are solid." God wants to speak that into your life, whatever it is. Whatever is that name that He wants to give you, that identity. Find that. Learn to pray. Learn to find your security in God. Then, once you've found your security, become insatiably hungry to learn. St. Thomas said that, you know, we're a blank slate. And I think that's deeply misunderstood exactly what St. Thomas meant by that. But once you have that security that God has given me, at the core, I am good, you can also recognize with humility, there's a lot you don't know. There's a lot you can't do yet. There's a lot you haven't learned how to do well. And the more you go looking, the more you're hungry to learn, the more you're curious and attentive to learn how to really live well. I don't just mean learning like learning geography or math or, you know, science or literature. Those things are important, obviously, you're in school. But I mean hungry to learn about how to treat people, about how to live a responsible life, how to live an emotionally stable life. Which, little sidebar, man, it is possible to direct your emotions. So many people live enslaved by what they think is their personality or a chemical imbalance, and there are chemical imbalances. But you can learn how to stabilize your emotions. It's a very real skill set, a very learnable skill set. So, learn it. Be insatiably hungry to learn the real stuff of life, the stuff that gives stability and meaning and deepens relationships in life. Be insatiably hungry to learn people, especially, to understand other people, because, you know, that security, that sense of security that I talked about a minute ago, that allows you to take focus off of yourself. You know, an insecure person is always afraid of himself, afraid of messing up, and so can't really just calmly and fully focus on other people and their needs and what they like and how they respond, how to treat them with respect and how to love them. You know, the gospel we hear here and in the second reading, we hear that we gotta learn to love. And loving really starts. The most fundamental way to love is to pay attention to other people and to notice them, to recognize what God recognizes in them, who they are and their goodness, and also the things that really light them up and give them joy. Jesus came to give us joy, that our joy might be complete. He looks to give us joy. He looks to bless us. He looks to give us good gifts. That's why we can pray. Ask whatever you ask in my name will be given to you. We should imitate God. How can I give the best of things to others? But it requires that we take the focus off ourselves, that we're really hungry to learn other people, to understand other people, understand where they're coming from, understand how they're feeling, understand what they need. Which naturally leads to the third thing. Give it away, man. You know, the first reading we heard that the Holy Spirit is given, you know, to these pagans, to these Greeks. God gives himself freely. God gives himself all the time. Everything you've got. Your parents, your education, you know, those cool little popsicles that you'd eat in the summertime. Yeah, I used to love Otter Pops. Y'all had Otter Pops. They're great. Or Sour Patch Kids. I love Sour Patch Kids. You know, God is good. He gave us Sour Patch Kids and things like that. You know, family and friends and Sour Patch Kids. So, God's looking to give gifts. He's looking to give the Holy Spirit. He's already given you the Holy Spirit through the sacraments. And in fact, there's a lot of people I have met that I know for sure the Holy Spirit's working in them, even outside of the church. Now, I'm not saying they don't need sacraments. They do. But God continually is giving of himself. And he's continually working in people's lives. We got to recognize that. That's what Peter in the early church was called to recognize. Is that God wants to work in people's lives. And generally, God waits for us to step up so that he can be communicated and his gifts can be communicated. He chooses to work through us. He doesn't make us puppets. He doesn't make us, you know, passive writing instruments. He makes us, you know, actors in this big old drama. This drama, especially in high school, it's drama. He makes us actors, fully engaged, you know, to give the gifts that he wants to give. So how can you give? And here's the interesting thing. Just give it away, because, you know, when we're waiting for other people to give to us, we hold back our gifts, because first we want to be recognized. First we want them to give to us. Sorry, there was a little traffic. When we're waiting for others to give to us first, man, it never happens, or it happens, you know, it's never enough. But there's this really cool law. There's this law of life. It's like the law of physics. It's a law of human dynamics. It's a part of the natural law, I'd even say. It's a law of reciprocity. And a lot of people think of this in terms of punishment, and it's true. But the law of reciprocity, that's a big word, reciprocity. It means what you give will be given back to you. But here's the trick. What you give will be given back to you, but not right away, not as you expect it, but 10 times and 100 times and 30 times what you've given away. So, you know, if you have an ability to do math and you help other people out with math, people are going to step into your life and teach you how to handle other things besides math. So it's not exactly what you gave. If you give math, you're not going to get math back. If you're giving to people, you're going to give back in ways that you can't expect, not exactly in the timing you expect, but it's going to come back at you 10 times or 100 times or 30 times. Or, you know, it's true in material things. If you're the kind of person who's generous with your stuff, without being dumb, you know, just giving away, you know, things you really need. But if you give with the security that God wants to bless you, the security that God loves you, that God is going to take care of you, if you give, comes back. You're blessed in return in ways that you can't imagine, in ways that are far more satisfying than the things that you hold on to. Give it away, man. For some of you, your parents really showed you how to do that. Some of you, you haven't gotten a good example. But you can start now in small ways, and I really recommend small ways. The foolish thing we do sometimes is just think that we're going to be St. Francis of Assisi and just give it all away. And sometimes that's appropriate, but very rarely. It's much better in small ways to give constantly, in small ways. So, if you're giving, it's going to come back. And that'll enable you to give more and to give better, especially if you're learning how to handle life in a more productive way all the time. And especially if you're coming from a place of security that, you know what, God loves me, He knows me, He's going to provide for me, He's going to take care of me. He's going to realize the promises He's made about who I am. If you have that security in God, and you're willing to learn how to handle life, and you're giving it all away, then your life will be blessed. It won't be easy. It's not going to be, you know, walk in the park and video games all the time. No. But it will be truly blessed. And you'll become a blessing for others. You'll bear fruit as Jesus commands. I just want to say a word about St. Elizabeth Ann Seton along those lines. It's the story of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and it's the story, really, of any saint, that the saints learned to find security. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton learned to find security in the love of God. And that's what allowed her to become a missionary, to, you know, set up shop in the wilderness of Maryland. At the time, it was wilderness. And to undergo all kinds of hardships, to suffer a lot, that security. And then starting an order is not easy. She had to learn. She had to figure it out. She had to work day by day, trial and error, asking advice to set up her religious order, to teach. And, you know, you'll notice what she does is teach. You know, someone who's insatiably hungry desires others to learn. She gave it away. She literally gave up her material possessions, but also, you know, possessions of her mind, the learning that she had, and more importantly, the love that she had for the children she worked with, for the sisters she worked with. She was giving it away. So, Jesus tells us we've got to bear fruit. He wants to bless you. He knows who you are. He's got a promise. He's got dreams for you. But you got to learn. You got to give it away. So it may be that this pilgrimage is a moment of grace. It's one more step in that direction towards bearing more fruit in your life. It may be that you really were able to recognize how many gifts we've already received, especially through the intercession of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. May it be that we touch, experience, know the graces that God gives us, and each of you, wherever you are, and we bear fruit, become a source of happiness, blessing, goodness for others, just like St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. Amen.